together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Digney, and I've got my wife, Vicky, because don't you want to hear from both of us? Yes. What does this look like? When a marriage is bad, it took two people for it to become bad. When it gets better, it takes two people. God is good, and he can graciously do some things, even if one is the only one that cares. And so if you're listening, you're thinking, but my spouse won't listen. My spouse cares nothing about making it better. Don't lose heart.
Yes.
You'd be amazed at what God can do with one humble, hungry sinner who says, show me everything you want me to see about me. But ooh, when two people lean in. And so take heart. If you begin to make changes and you begin to please God and you begin to do some of the things we're talking about, your spouse just might take note and begin to jump in more than you would think. But we're going to lift up something that, again, you could read a marriage book, you could find the best-selling marriage books, and you would probably not find in the table of contents a chapter on this, patience. You're like, oh, please, talk to me about something bigger than that that would make a bigger difference than that. Oh, we're getting our instructions and our roadmap and our blueprint for how to get out of barely alive towards thrive from God's word. So I'm going to take you back to 1 Corinthians 13 again, because after he lays it out there and says, oh, it doesn't matter how many languages you know. It doesn't matter how much insight you have about the future. If you don't have love, you have nothing and you gain nothing. But then he begins to tell us what it is. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient and kind. We're going to park right here. We're going to pull it to the side of the road right here, throw up the emergency brake, and stay a while. What are we talking about? You see, when God begins to tell us what real love is all about, you see that it is described, first of all, make a note, it's described by action words, mm-hmm. not by lofty concepts.
True.
Paul's not writing about how love feels. Notice he's not saying what feels like this. I don't know, do I have that loving feeling? He's writing about things that can be seen in action. True love, get this, is always demonstrated by action. That's why it's never okay to just say, I told you I loved you. I said I loved you. Nothing's changed. What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. They don't see any behavior that backs that up. It doesn't look like you love anybody but yourself. But let me help you right here with the word patient. Just like I've told you a couple times, I love that the Bible is written in Koine Greek. Unlike the English language, there are distinctions that can be made with this language. Guess what? They had two different words for patient in their Greek language. And I think that's because there's a certain place where we struggle more than anywhere else to be patient. It's with people. They had a word that indicated patience with people that was distinct from just being patient in general. Mm. The normal word for patience is hupomeno. It means to stand up under a weight. You can be patient in the midst of a hard, heavy circumstance. And then they had a second word for patience, macrothumia, that meant to be patient with people.
Perhaps that in part thumia, because you get furious.
Well, it's TH, thumia. Oh. but you're on the right track, sweetie. Because guess what? Macro means long, and thumos was anger or fury.
Okay.
And so what it literally meant was it takes you a long time to get to the end of your fuse and you go off on somebody. Macro, that's a word we have in the English that means big, long, macrothumia. I do not quickly come to the end of dealing with it. I'm done with you. I can't take any more of this.
A long fuse.
And so it meant, that's why the old King James Bible translated it long suffering. You will just suffer long before you're done or before you go off. And so it describes people who are slow to get anger, to get angry no matter how difficult, unkind, or hurting it is towards them what other people are doing. Macrothumia. It means you're willing to stay in that relationship even though you feel like it's you're being inconvenienced. Maybe even you think, I'm being taken advantage of. Now, let me please bring a caution right here. We are not talking about being patient with abuse. So the Bible does not teach if you are in a situation where you are in danger, you are being sexually abused or physically abused, you get out. And God gave us the civil authorities, the police. You are to call them. Don't feel bad about that. You are to call them. I hope you're a part of a good church. Call your elders. You have your elders and you have your civil authorities. So this is not talking about staying in a unsafe, harmful place where you are in danger and your life or your well-being is threatened. Patient. It's interesting that that's what he leads out with. Of everything he could have started with, love is patient. Thoughts on this, Vicki?
Wow.
I bet you got some.
I do. And I really think in marriage, you really do need to have a long fuse because the closer you get to someone, the more it's just easy to start seeing things about them you didn't know. And it really can start to annoy you. So it's like, okay.
You're talking about people you know or me?
Yes.
What?
Can't imagine. I'm sure he shows it to me too. But you know, you when you're up close and personal, you start to really understand those people, their faults, their strengths, their weaknesses. But I think one word that comes to my mind when I think of patience is the word stephanatos. Ooh. And you may say, "What is stephanatos?"
Is that a Greek word, baby?
It's not a Greek word, but it's a beautiful plant. It's a Madagascar, a fragrant Madagascar jasmine.
Wow.
So this word comes to my mind because a few years ago when we were trying to sell the home that we raised our five kids in, our realtor came in and we just said, hey, you tell us whatever we need to do. What do we need to paint? What do we need to do? Well, one thing he said was basically half the stuff in this house needs to go into storage. So that was very humbling and shocking. So I remember even in our bedroom, we had two chests of drawers, one for Brad, one for me, a love seat. It was actually a pretty big bedroom. He said, every single thing in here needs to go except for the bed. I'm like, okay, we're just going to pretend these people don't have clothes. They don't wear clothes, but we have a bed. So anyway, we did everything he said. So one of the things I did is we had a beautiful island that had beautiful gray and white granite with little purple flecks. Yes. And I thought, I'm going to get a beautiful plant. So I went to Trader Joe's. And they had this stephanatos, and it was in a little white pot, and it had a wire that was in a circle, and around this wire was growing this beautiful plant with green leaves
and white flowers.
So it was always
It was already growing up in like an arc.
Oh, it was
in a circle.
Beautiful. Yes. Look it up.
Wrapped around that wire.
Yes. Google it. Stephanatos image. And this thing was just full. So literally,
Full of blooms.
Full of blooms.
What color?
This is white. This is going to help us sell our house. So I totally cleaned the island off. I just had this glass dish. I put the white little pot on there. The stephanatos look great.
Could have been something out of a Home and Garden magazine.
Southern
huh?
Living, baby.
Yeah.
So anyway, great news. The house sold. Well, of course.
In 2 days. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks
thank
to
you,
the
Jesus.
Stephanopoulos?
Stephanatos.
Stephanatos.
Yes. So thanks to the stephanatos. And mainly Jesus, the house sold. Yeah. But, you know, in my mind, I want to take this plant with me to the new house. I did not let the movers touch it. I brought it in my car. And so we put it in our dining room so we could see it. Well, what happens is over, you know, so the blooms fall off. Well, then not only do the blooms fall off, the leaves start falling off.
Yeah.
It's just becomes kind of an unattractive plant. And Brett's just like, let's get rid of this thing.
I'm
like,
just the wire with a little bit of green stem.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And Brett wanted to get rid of it because he likes things
that are yellow and leaves that are gone and blooms that are long gone.
No blooms. Yes. And Brett's like, can we just throw this away? We're like, no. That was just a beautiful plant. We're going to have to just bear this thing out. So meanwhile, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year goes by, still no blooms. It still looks pretty scraggly. So I fertilized it. Starting to the second year now. Anyway, finally, literally 3 weeks ago, I just happened to be over there by it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I see little white buds. There's little green things in the very edge. They have white on them. It's getting ready to bloom again. Now, it still doesn't have all its leaves. It's still kind of looking sad, but literally, it just bloomed again after 2 years. So when I think of the word patience, I think of the flower, the stephanatus. Now, maybe I'm not doing something right, but literally, it took 2 years for the thing to bloom
again. I was shocked. When I came home from work,
I was so excited.
It's over near where we sit to eat. She's like, how did you say it?
I said, look around the room. What do you notice?
Yeah. Of course, I didn't notice.
No, he didn't.
But then she pointed out, I could not believe it. That sad plant has sat there for a year.
Two.
I would never have thought that blooms would show up again. And there it was. And I'm telling you what, within 2 weeks, huge, glorious, aromatic, they smell delightful, white blooms have shown up again.
Stephanatus.
Oh, we're talking about patience. And guess what? Not just patient with your stephanatus, but with your spouse. Love is patient. We're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk some more about what would it look like to be long-suffering, to be patient with your spouse.
And we're back with more from Brad and Vicki in just a moment as they talk about patience. That's one of the things that I've struggled with the most in my marriage. And don't think I'm not listening to everything they're saying with my notebook open. All right, so Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus yet, I don't know what you're waiting on. Come on, it's completely free. You hear me talking about it all the time. Our entire library, everything that Fortis Institute has produced over the last 25 years, well, not everything, but the majority of it is available inside of Fortis Plus, absolutely free. Marriage, parenting, discipleship, whatever you're looking for, you're going to find something available to you at Fortis Plus, absolutely free of charge. Now, how do you get Fortis Plus? Well, you download it on your cell phone, absolutely free of charge. Just go to the app store where you download your apps from, search Fortis Plus, boom, you're going to find it, and you're going to find it for free. Same thing from your streaming store on your smart TV. You're going to find Fortis Plus on your Apple TV, your Roku, your Amazon Fire Stick. In your streaming store, just search for Fortis Plus and download it, or you can go to fortisplus.org. It's that simple. And again, it's absolutely free. And you know why it's free? Because of our gospel partners. That's right. Our gospel partners are listeners who choose to cover the cost of everything we do so that everyone who wants to listen and watch and take part in our content can for no charge at all. Now, that's not a sales pitch. That just facts, okay? So if your local church sits at the top of your giving, as it should, because that's where our giving priority should be as Christians, is to our local church. And if that's happening for you and you still have some margin where you might consider joining us as a gospel partner, we would be honored if you would start to pray about it, talk to your spouse about it, and consider what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get answers to any questions you have right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, fortisinstitute.org. So download Fortis Plus. Truth within reach anytime you need it because of our gospel partners who keep the doors open at Fortis Institute, not only for us, but also for the families down the street. All right, let's get back to Brad and Vicki now. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, we're talking about what could get your marriage out of barely alive to begin to thrive. And Vicky left us with a picture of a flower, which is a pretty good one. Because some of you might be thinking, yeah, our marriage is like down to the wire. It's just a wire.
The leaves are falling off.
It is not healthy. It is barely alive. Well, are you willing to be patient? Are you willing to? I think about patience on two levels. The one we were touching on, being patient with your spouse, that we're going to talk some more about. But guess what? You also need to have the ability to be patient and wait on God. Wait on. It probably didn't happen overnight that your marriage got to the point it is now. And it will not just get better overnight. But if you were willing to wait on the Lord, and I hope you realize I'm using the biblical word wait. When we think wait, we think I'm just idle. I'm doing nothing.
Twiddling
and
my thumbs.
Waiting for God to do something. Woo! Biblical wait, both in the New Testament and the Old Testament, is a posture of leaning forward, expectant, and doing what God calls you to do in the meantime. If you would be willing to do what he calls, you're like, but what if they don't? What if?
Mm-hmm.
What if I start and they don't start? What if I work hard and they don't work as hard? What if? You're never a loser when you please the Lord. And you just don't know what God might do. There's only one person you can control, you.
Mm-hmm.
So what would it look like to truly love another less than perfect human being at close range? And of everything that God could have told us when he said, let me help you know what love looks like, he chose to start with macrothumia, patient with people. Long fuse. You don't go off on someone quickly and easily. Other thoughts that come to your mind, Vicky, about what this looks like in real time? I think about John Chrysostom. That's a name. He was a famous preacher forever ago. And he said something about this very word. John Chrysostom, if I can find it, said that it's the word used of those who are wronged and who have it easily in their power to avenge themselves, and yet they will not do it. You don't have to be in a marriage long or any relationship, a friendship, a church family, a work group before you feel like you've been wronged. And some of it's true and some of it's often sadly in our own minds because we expect so much. But God calls us to be long-suffering, to have a long fuse, not a short fuse that runs out in a hurry. I know in our own marriage, it's like we've been talking to you about, it's the little stuff that makes a difference.
Yes.
I'm type A. Mm-hmm. I'm Mr. Command. I'm take that next hill. I'm let's get it done. And so I got to tell you, something else in an earlier show I told you, I started paying attention and caring about what she cares about. Guess what else I started doing? Just saying to myself, we don't have to be in such a hurry. It's not loving when I always make her feel like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Patient. And so I'll tell you in practical ways what this looks like. I don't think this will offend you, honey.
Not getting hardly
But as
wait.
I thought about this some, I just thought,
what are you gonna say,
you know,
precious?
One of the areas that I'm trying to work, and oh, I so hope you don't say, I haven't seen you doing that, is when we're about to go somewhere. We're supposed to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if it's a banquet at church we're supposed to attend where I'm speaking and encouraging the volunteers, or even if we're supposed to go on a bike ride, we're supposed to go on a date. I mean, she's delightful. You're delightful. But this is
where
how
is
it goes
this
down.
Going?
This is how it goes down. We will be going out the door and she will say, oh, hang on a minute. I want to get a sweater. Oh, hang on a minute. I want to get my readers.
My sunglasses.
Oh, hang on a minute. I want to fill up my water bottle. And I've just learned, it's just, I don't want to exaggerate because that's not good in a relationship. But I would say 98% of the time, we do not just walk out the
it's
door.
Painful.
She is going to go back once, yay, verily, maybe twice. And, you know, and so here's what it looks like.
I got to have my stuff,
I
baby.
Don't just go ahead and start the car, back it up, start revving the engine. Boom, boom, boom. Certainly not. And you think about it.
Oh, my, no.
Now, how has the whole time together started? Not on a good note. So I've learned in most cases, just don't even get in the car yet because we're not even close to leaving. You're just going to get hot. You're going to get frustrated. Go walk the yard. Look at the flowers. Check the mailbox. See if there's a neighbor you can chat with.
Take time to smell the roses. Yeah.
And don't keep looking at your watch because it's going to be a while. And then don't say, what were you doing? But they're just like, you want to bring us out of the land of make-believe and mystery
here? Oh,
yeah,
I
want
to talk about
doing?
This right now.
What are you doing in there? Because it's always like,
this is not
that
in
was
our
way
notes.
Longer than just finding readers
script.
Or getting a sweater.
Well, first of all, so like.
But aren't I being patient?
Yeah. So first of all, like if he says we're leaving for church at 10 o'clock, he's going to be ready at 10 till 10. Well, if you tell me 10 o'clock, 10 a.m., I'm going to be ready at 10 a.m. Like
yeah, but you're changing the subject. This is not about me being early.
I'm going around.
Okay, okay.
But then, you know, at 5 till, I'm going to still be brushing my teeth. So, yes, to his credit, I'm not normally, I don't usually make you late. Can you agree with that?
No. Nope. That's true.
Thank you.
We have never been late because I've always already chosen
so early.
A time of departure that there's no way we could be late if we leave then.
But you're right. I normally do think like, I want my water bottle.
Say
or
that again. What was
you're
that?
Right. I don't know. What did I say?
You're right.
I don't remember saying
that. Oh, just say that. You're right.
You're right. Yes. So, but to your credit, I always think, I mean, I want my stuff with me. I'm old. I want my stuff. I want my water bottle.
Oh, I
want my glasses.
That,
I want my sunglasses. I might need a sweater. Yeah. So, you know, I'm multitasking. I'm doing a lot at once. So yeah, that's a good point. Why did we bring this up?
Well, I was hopefully, I think I was giving an example of how I'm choosing to be patient.
Yes, yes. And I would agree.
It's true. I want the listeners to get it. She's never made me late.
Thank you. We're never late.
Mm-hmm. Because she'll say, what time do you want to leave? And I'll say, right. We should leave at 10 o'clock. Well, the thing starts at 10:30 or 10:45.
Yes.
But all I'm saying is, and notice this is news to her because I've never looked at her and said,
wow, thank you, listeners,
for
feeling my pain.
Yeah, thanks for being there for us. This has been so cathartic. And I've never said, do you know what drives me crazy? Why don't you go ahead and have your sweater, have your water bottle filled up, and know where your readers are at 10? I've never said that.
Yeah, you haven't.
I just
think,
all right, she literally. Technically, she was ready to go. She started coming out the door,
mm-hmm.
but then she'll have her hand on the doorknob. She'll have one foot on the first stair down, and she'll say, oh, I need to go back and get a sweater.
Yeah, I mean,
I need my readers.
This is true.
I need a water bottle.
Like a running joke we have with my kids when they all lived at home was, if I leave to say go to the grocery store, you can just pretty much count on she's coming back in at least once. So, I mean, you know, I always say, if I die, I'll probably come back at least once or maybe twice.
Yes, that's so true.
It's just an ongoing joke. It's true. He's right.
I'm working on the budget at my desk or I'm practicing my sermon, whatever. And she's like, all right, I'm headed to the gym. Bye. I know. 3 to 5 minutes. Cha-ching. Door comes back in. Alarm is disarmed. Da-da-da. She's coming back for something.
I forgot something.
It's rare that I hear an engine sound and it just gets fainter and fainter. And she is
But that's so nice gone. That you've been long suffering and haven't just gone off on me about
and,
that.
And if you're listening and actually thinking, well, dude, there's nothing great about that. That would be so picky and pathetic. And, I agree. But guess what? This is what destroys marriages.
That's right.
Wouldn't you agree, honey?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It isn't just heinous stuff. It's how you allow little stuff to just get in your craw. And you just think, why do you have to hurt? And I'm just trying to love. And I'm thinking, she is a wonderful person. She's going to be delightful when we get there. She's going to be delightful in the car.
But she's got to have her stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, but you keep saying that, but I'm happy for you to have your stuff. You just think, why not get the stuff before 10 o'clock? But I'm like, all right, we roll differently.
Very differently.
And why start off on a bad foot just because you're like, that's an example of you're just not being patient.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're just different. I just always tend to think, pre-prep, everything that is involved. Go ahead and do it.
Back to the coffee stations to like, he gets his water out and measures it in advance and has it sitting there. So in the morning, he already has his beans ground. I mean, he does everything in advance.
Yeah.
So that's not me.
So you can imagine how hard this is for me to fathom it's true.
I just live my life.
My coffee station is pre-set up the night before with 12 ounces of water in the kettle, with beans in the grinder, ready to, with the AeroPress sitting on top of my coffee cup with filter in
it. I know it's hard to imagine. Yes.
Yeah. And in the bathroom. Oh, you're going to love it. If you're like, well, what about the bathroom, Brad? My shoes for the day have their socks in them. Underwear is laying there. A t-shirt's there. Jeans are there. Shirt has been picked out.
Me? I do none of that.
But I'll be the first to admit, God had to show me, and he did show me. I was guilty in the early years of our marriage saying, this is so amazing how I live, and you are driving me crazy.
And
the sooner
that.
You become just like me, the sooner we'll have a better marriage. And that was pride.
And that was exhausting.
And we're going to get into that in a later show because it's in this same passage. That was pride. Mm. Love is patient, and you let little things go. Mm-hmm. She didn't have time to share them, but she could, I'm sure, turn around and tell little things about me and big things that
How
she's
much
letting
time
it
do we have?
Go. She's being patient. We're talking about what would move you towards a marriage that feels like it's flourishing, that feels healthy, that feels like you're enjoying each other. Guess what? It starts with patience. Macrothumia. Long fuse. It takes a lot before you have had it and feel like you need to say something about it. God's love through us. Is God patient with us? Ooh, you better believe it. That could change your marriage.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.